Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we did our first Chiefs full seven-round mock draft last week on our show. And got a lot of traction. A lot of people talked about it. I'm sure you went on with all the people here on 96.5 The Fan. What were you hearing about it?
There was no pushback about it. I mean, there was none at all. As a matter of fact, I'm listening to Cody and Gold today. And Cody said his draft crush is Derek Harmon. I texted him and said, hey, we talk about him quite a bit on Character Concerns. We like him, too. We like him, too. I thought he would go a lot earlier, but he's been, you know, sliding. We'll talk about that. He's been sliding a little bit. But again, this is the silly season. This is where the, you know, like Teddero McMillan sliding, all these Luther Burden has slid, and now he's back in it, the first round. So people are all over the place. But for the most part, I think people agree with the sentiment. Because last year, it was all over the place. Because I was always wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. And it was met with defensive line, offensive line. But seems to be consensus to go ahead and go defense in this year's draft with that first pick.
Yeah, I mean, even though there's a lot of mockers out there that don't quite agree with that sentiment, I think there's a safe assumption that defense is where the Chiefs should and probably will be looking at, unless something crazy happens with an offensive player.
Yeah, they see what happened in the Super Bowl, obviously. Yeah. You know, the offensive line got worked. And so they see Tooney going off to Chicago. So they're saying, all right, the Chiefs need a guard and a tackle. And you know, they do. You know, Jalen Moore comes in here to hopefully solve a problem they have at left tackle. And we're not sure about guard. Maybe it's Kingsley, Sue, Matia, the right tackle, moving or left guard this year. But, you know, that naturally that's an assumption when people look at the Chiefs and they say, all right, what's this team need? Boom. They're going to pull up offensive tackle. Although they clearly saw what the receiver room looked like last season. You would think they would be higher on that.
Well, I mean, I'm not shocked that they aren't, because Worthy looked good in the playoffs. You're getting Rashi Rice back. You brought back Hollywood Brown. So I don't think receiver is going to be something you're going to hear. I've seen some Luther Burden.
Yeah, but those weren't even mocked. They weren't even mocked. Even Hollywood, before he even signed back with the Chiefs, it wasn't really. Justin Watson's gone.
Well, because left tackle was the bigger issue.
Well, Rashi Rice is going to miss games. I mean, there's a reason for them to get a receiver.
Right, yeah. I just, first round doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me unless somebody falls.
Now look at the T-League. Andy Reid, short arms. This is what this tackle class is, short arms. Not only that, I heard Cody talking about, you know, Matt Miller had said something about five of these tackles are going to end up being guards. And you and I have been talking about that the whole time, how these, quote, left tackles are in la-la land and fictional area.
Pretty much the entire year, all of 2025.
You got a bunch of guards right tackles.
Yeah.
That's what you got. So, and the best lineman in the draft is arguably Mimbu, who is at Mizzou, and he's going to be a guard.
He's either going to be a right tackle or he's going to be a guard.
I think he should be a right tackle. He's got the height and size. I mean, he's got what they want. He's the same height as like the Tristan Wirfs of the world and Trey Williams. So I think he'll be tackled. The NFL kind of wants to move him to guard. But still, it's a right tackle that's your best offensive lineman, in my opinion.
Right. They give him a shot, but I think he probably ends up moving inside to guard. So starting off with free agency news, the guy that we've been talking about a lot, the Chiefs bringing back, Charles Omenihu, edge rusher. He signed a 1-year, $7 million deal to come back to the Chiefs. I was really excited when I saw this news come out because this was exactly what I thought the Chiefs needed. Gives them a little bit more security. You know, you got a vet that can play outside, play inside. And not only that, but you hope that he kind of does what Frank Clark did for George Karloftis and whatnot, helps the next young guys come along here. It's unfortunate he didn't get the payday he was looking for, but hey, you know, comes back here, has a chance to win another Super Bowl, and I think this is a move that eases a lot of anxiety that we may have had about this pass rush going into the 25 season.
He pairs well. When Chris Jones is out there, you know, they work well off each other when both of them are on the field. And I'm glad he came back, too. Here's a guy that wanted to come back. I mean, the way he was talking, all these podcasts and shows.
He wanted bad.
He wants to be Chief. So he's hungry, too. Like, he didn't want to go out like that. Like, I like guys like that. Don't want to go out like that, how it ended up against Philadelphia. He's hungry. It does give the Chiefs some flexibility. They bring back Mike Pinnell, too, today for that defensive line, the rotation. Clearly a guy that not going to be there all the time, but, you know, good for this team for depth and stuff. They're setting themselves up, I believe, for the draft to be able to do a lot of different things. I still think that edge would be an issue. Getting to the quarterback, got to get it. Makes your cornerbacks better, makes your defensive line better and everything else. But Omenihu coming back, when he's healthy, he can get to the quarterback. He's got a lot of reasons to get back there and get that quarterback. This guy should be a motivated guy. I love when the Chiefs get guys that are hungry, motivated for the next contract.
Yeah, and you're seeing a lot of guys like this where instead of, you know, in past years, guys like Omenihu would have gotten multi-year deals, maybe not a ton of money, but you're talking about like a multi-year deal with some guarantees and you're starting to feel pretty good. Instead, it's like a pretty healthy 1-year deal. And then maybe next year you hit the market and you try again. A couple of other guys that they brought in, you brought up MV Pinnell back on a 1-year deal. And then Marlon Tuipulotu, another guy returning for the Chiefs at defensive tackle. So you got three defensive tackles on your roster in Tillery, Tuipulotu, and Pinnell. I still think, though, you got to get at least one defensive tackle. You should probably get two in the draft.
Well,
you got a bunch of 1-year deals on your roster at defensive tackle.
I think it should be the first pick they get.
Me too.
It's the deepest at that time of the draft.
Right. Yeah. I think it's of the positions you could take late first round. Defensive line is the safest you could go. It's also going to be one of the most important for them to go here in the future because you got to think about George Karloftis and what you're going to do with him. He's still got a couple more years.
But Trey McDuffie, but you're going to have to pay. You can't pay everybody.
I
mean, it's nice theory. You know, Trey Smith, we'll see what's going to go on there when he gets that franchise, what they're going to get extending him. But getting the amount of pass rushers, never a bad thing. If Felix hasn't come to be the person you thought he would be and the Chiefs would be, hey, you bring in that. But sitting there at 31 is dangerous, too, because you're dealing with people that don't have first-round grades. They don't, because typically NFL teams have.
Unless someone falls.
Yeah, you know, 12 to 15. Well, Trey McDuffie started to slide. Yeah, That's why they jumped up.
He fell, and the Chiefs
They jumped up to him. But it is interesting, with the way some of these players are falling throughout the draft, it's going to be really interesting to see where the Chiefs sit. And really, will they have the market to trade back? Because that was always the thing when the draft was here in Kansas City. We always thought, okay, they want to pick somebody. You know, they pick Felix, you know, hometown guy. They wanted to make a selection, you know, when the draft's here in Kansas City. This year is going to be interesting. And I think if it's for a quarterback, if like a Jackson Dart's still up there, maybe the Chiefs want to get up, or maybe a team wants to get up there where the Chiefs are drafting to get it before the second round kind of commences and everything, the board kind of resets itself. Or I don't know if the Chiefs want to do it because they're going to value these draft picks moving down for one of these receivers. Like if Tedderell McMillan, Luther Burden still available and they're starting to slide in the 20s, do you have enough to get up and get those guys?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because like I think they're a candidate for both. I think the Chiefs are a candidate to move up and go snatch one of those guys that falls, like a McMillan, like a burden. Maybe Derek Harmon is falling, and the Chiefs are like, we don't want to risk
it. I don't want to do it basically for those three guys.
Yeah, like, we don't want to risk it. Or Walter Nolan, another guy I think would be an option for them to trade up for. They're just like, hey, we don't want to wait. We don't want to risk it. Because it's the same thing with Xavier Worthy. They really coveted Xavier Worthy. He was falling at a level that I don't think they thought he would be at. I think they thought he was probably going to go late teens, early 20s. And when he was still sitting there at 27 and Buffalo answered the call, I think they were like, we got to get him. This is a guy we really value. And it's ended up working out for him.
What are teams going to figure out? Just don't answer if the Chiefs are calling.
I mean, all these teams, but that's the thing.
Throw it with the answering machine.
But you got to figure it. You got to think about it this way. It's like all these guys think that they're the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, I know they do.
So when they think they're the smartest guy in the room, they think they're going to be able to get some over you. And it's the same thing.
At that point, it's a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls calling you at that point.
Yeah, so. But still, like.
Oh, I know. I mean, they all think they're the smartest guy.
The Ravens, same thing. Orlando Brown Jr., they thought they were getting one over on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just the nature of the biz. So somebody's probably going to answer the phone if the Chiefs are looking to move up. Now, you know, probably going to be much easier to do it with an NFC team, but still, somebody's probably going to answer. Another signing the Chiefs brought in, cornerback Robert Rochelle. He's more of a special teamer, hasn't really played very much of any defensive snaps the last couple seasons. But
they're starting to fill up the camp bodies.
Yeah, yeah. So that's could be a special teamer that makes the team late as just, you know, a good energy guy there, kick returns, punt returns, etc. So now we get to how these moves have affected the Chiefs' draft strategy and really the perception of the Chiefs' draft strategy. Because right now, I've been looking at a lot of mock drafts just like you have, and it's still crazy. Because we thought after Jalen Moore got signed by the Chiefs that they were going to shift, that you were going to see mockers shift away from left tackle or tackle in general. But it hasn't been that way. It's still a ton. There's a lot more defensive tackle picks, a lot more wide receiver tight end picks. I've seen some Colston Loveland. I've seen
Mel Kiper. I think he had Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, I saw Kelvin Banks.
He can go a lot higher than that, first of all.
Yeah, he's not dropping to 31. But like, there's a whole lot of mockers who you're seeing still having the Chiefs take tackles and even guards. I've seen Gray Zabel on a few mocks.
Yeah, Lance Zierlein. Or not in the Chad Ryder. Yeah. We've had on a few times from NFL.com. Had the Chiefs trading down and getting Taylor Booker as the guard from Alabama. So they were like, okay, the Chiefs could use a guard. Here's Taylor Booker, the best guard. I would start.
Which I don't think he's the best guard.
I would start a rookie guard over a rookie tackle. So put it that way, first of all. But I wouldn't go guard in the first round, that's for sure. But the other thing, too, is I think it's this narrative that the Chiefs got to have the tackle. Again, it goes back to the beginning. Like, what do the Chiefs actually need? They do. That's true. But think about it. I mean, look at this arm length. Just bring yourself back to the days of the COVID draft of Sam Cosmi and Liam Eichenberg and Alex Leatherwood. Those guys move the guard, or they move the right tackle, or they're out of the league. And the Chiefs, they get nervous. But luckily, Baltimore answered the phone call, and they got Orlando Brown. They tried to get Trent Williams till 2 a.m. Didn't work out. But all these guards I'm seeing, tackles from Ohio State and short arms. First of all, if you're short arms and a rookie, those are two big things going against you to start for Andy Reid at left tackle. You're going to be protecting Patrick Mahomes. Do you think the Chiefs are good with training wheels once again? I mean, they thought they were good to go last year with Kingsley because they were bringing everybody back, trying to run it back. They go Wanya Moore, Stoutier's, boom, training camp starts, and they go to Kingsley. It didn't work out. They ended up using four left tackles. So to think that the Chiefs would go into the season with a rookie left tackle with shorter arms than what Andy Reid prefers, because it took a while for Tooney, for him to make that move to Tooney, because the arm disc, and it finally caught up to him. Like, the length of arms finally caught up to him.
It was, and here's the thing, is like, this is the thing that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Why would the Chiefs spend a first-round pick drafting a tackle when they just signed a guy that they think could be their future left tackle in Jalen Moore? Could be a future, you know, you could, I'm sure they're thinking he's our left tackle for the next 5 years.
Yeah, they do it, they can back out of the contract if he's terrible and move it away.
Right.
But you know what? He's a fifth round pick. You know, Jalen Moore is from the draft. So if you want to draft somebody in the fourth round, let's say, and let him develop for a couple years, you think, all right, this is going to be a good tackle in the future. There's no pressure on him. You know, can play tackle. You can groom him to be that guy. If that's the guy you really want, again, you don't have to get linemen in the first round. But if you have the patience to deal with them grooming into NFL players like Jalen Moore, I mean, anybody could have had him many times in the NFL, but they didn't.
Yeah, like I said, I just, for me, it's like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for them to then back and go get another left tackle in the first round. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially when the guys, like, because they clearly told you when they made that signing, we don't believe in this position in the first round. It's the same thing that happened back in 21 when they traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They were telling us they don't believe in this tackle class.
No, they weren't. And then they made the overtures on Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah.
I mean, there was all those reports that they were putting money out there for that.
They were ready to sign Ronnie Stanley. If you are out here ready to put money on the streets to go get you a left tackle that's in the league right now, you don't believe in this tackle class.
If you thought, we can sit there at 31 and still get a great tackle.
No.
You are calling the Ravens about Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah. Like, they literally, like, all we heard in the lead up there was like, oh, Chiefs, Ronnie Stanley, watch out.
And I'm sure the Chiefs would have been interested in Laremy Tunsil as well.
Yeah, certainly not for that price.
No,
but if it was a reasonable price, I'm sure that they would have, if it was a reasonable price, would have looked at that. But like, yeah, the Chiefs are just, they tell you what they think of that position group in the draft with how they handle free agency. And every time they've had an opportunity to address it in the draft, they didn't really think very much of it. I mean, we've been looking at, they could have taken right tackle a couple years ago too.
Well, they've been pretty aggressive.
They didn't do it.
They've been pretty aggressive bringing people back and running it back. But as I felt all along, Chris, they need to try to infuse this with young talent. Obviously, it's going to come through the draft. But you know, this is kind of a draft for necessity. Infuse some life in this team. I mean, they weren't.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Putting teams away last year, this is your opportunity to do it. You can have some big contracts coming up in the future, but definitely use this draft to infuse the young talent, because that's the only thing that's going to be different. Because essentially the Chiefs are the same thing, except for Jalen Moore coming in here and whatever, and Christian Fulton. But it's this draft class to infuse the young talent in the Chiefs.
Right. Like I said, my big thing is, like, the Chiefs are a team that tells you what they think of the draft class with their actions and free agency.
100%.
And it just, I don't think these people are getting it. You know, I don't think that you know, guys like the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Mel Kiper, I don't think they're getting that part. There was some news that was reported about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, by Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. The Chiefs are going to be welcoming in Southern Arkansas cornerback Melvin Smith Jr. for a visit on Tuesday. This is a kid that did not work out at the combine. He didn't get an invite. But at his pro day, he ran a 4.38 40, so he got some speed to him. 38 and a half inch vertical, which, I'm going to tell you this, if there's one thing the Chiefs and Brett Veach and Spags love about DBs, is guys who are crazy athletes. That was the thing that drew them to guys like Joshua Williams, to Jalen Watson. Trent McDuffie was another one. Legarius Sneed is another one. Guys who test really high on their athletic profile at corner. He's 5'10", about 200 pounds. So, you know, the length is about 32-inch arms. So from a size standpoint, he fits what the Chiefs like. He can play press coverage. With that 4.38 speed, you'd think that he'd be able to go out there and have the speed to keep up with guys.
6'1", about 185 pounds.
Yeah, he's 5'10 at his pro day.
He's 5'10 at the pro day, but he's listed at 6'1".
Yeah,
you know how we're always lagging the Southern Arkansas website.
But, yeah.
But the funny thing is, this is how they spin the top 30 picks a lot of times. It's not guys you're going to draft in the first round.
Yeah, it's the obscure screens, guys.
It's the guys you're going to draft in the later parts of the round or bring in them as undrafted, get to know them a little bit if you didn't get an opportunity to speak to the combine. So you're going to see a lot of these type of visits come in and out the doors with the Chiefs getting used to somebody. And keep in mind, Mike Dana didn't go to the combine.
No.
Look how he's been productive.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I thought that was very interesting. And when I kind of looked up and looked at the measurables, look at the player profile, certainly would be a guy that I think the Chiefs would be interested in on day three. They have 3 seventh-round picks. Maybe he is a priority seventh-rounder that they go out there and they take a shot on. I think once you get to that point, you're going to be drafting more for athleticism than you are for production anyways, because it's a seventh round. So I thought that was a really interesting note there by Jeremy Fowler. We should definitely look out for that name on draft weekend. So I want to get over to some
small school guy coming out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was the same thing with Joshua Williams, HBCU kid, but he had good size, good athleticism, and they brought him in the fourth round, and he's been a pretty good contributor for them overall.
Division two guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to get to some NFL draft buzz overall. Obviously, some of this stuff is going to affect the Chiefs. And I want to start out with word going around. At least you're kind of seeing this on some mocks, that the Titans might go quarterback. Generally, the thought is Cam Ward at number one overall, which is not what we had been hearing the past 2 months in the lead up to draft season.
Well, this is Adam Schefter tweeted out, this is the closest we've gotten to the draft without a trade of draft picks, going back to Chiefs in 93 getting Montana. The Titans, again, the quarterback class is so dried up. I mean, you're not bringing in a Sam Darnold. You want something for the future. That's what you're trying to build your team through. Will Levis, you know, obviously not the answer. I think they're stuck, man. Because, yeah, I like Cam Ward. Do I think that's the answer long-term for Tennessee? Probably the best option in this draft to do it, but they've got to get a quarterback. I mean, they spent all that money last year on defense. They've got to get it. They've got to take that chance at Cam Ward. I understand the allure to trading back, but they got to have a quarterback, man. And Cam Ward, to me, head and shoulders, the best quarterback in this draft. That's the direction I'd go.
I love Cam Ward, and I agree with you, but here's where I'm thinking. I don't know if the Titans want to sit in and try and develop another quarterback. Because, like, that's a team that, like, if you're like Brian Callahan right now, you probably think, hey, I can turn Will Levis into an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, well,
now, I think he's wrong, but he's probably thinking that.
Probably thought he could do that already.
Yeah, yeah, but again, 1 year, you know, you never know. Sometimes it takes some time.
We'll see,
like,
man.
But, like, I think in his, it would not shock me if what they're doing here is they're putting it out there that, hey, we might take a quarterback, so they can increase the value of that pick. Because right now, I guarantee you, they're not getting the kind of offers that they're looking for. Because you, as you brought up, we probably would have seen a trade by now.
There's talk that the Giants may be hosed at three if Shneur and Cam Ward go one, too.
I think I'm pretty certain the Browns are going to take whoever doesn't get taken. With Jameis? So it's like, I guarantee you, here's what I think is happening. I think that the Titans have been shopping this pick around, and they haven't been getting the kind of offers that they were hoping for. And so they're putting it out there on the streets. Hey, we might just take a quarterback here. And that way they can try and get some control over the situation and up the value of that trick, because they want to get as much as they possibly can. So I wouldn't put it out there that that's just a smokescreen on the part of the Titans and that they are just trying to get the best value they can for that number one overall pick. But they're not quite so, because, like, again, they were selling, they were going around at Senior Bowl weekend and at the combine saying, hey, we're going to answer the phone if you call us about that number one overall pick.
Pick for sale.
If you were that resolute on one of these two quarterbacks that are valued at that top five spot, you wouldn't even be taking calls. You wouldn't even put it out there that you're interested in moving it. Unless someone asked you. You wouldn't even put it out there. So I tend to think that this is probably just them trying to salvage some value for that pick, because it ain't what it is. It ain't what they were hoping for, because I think there's a lot of teams that are really split on this quarterback draft class.
Yeah, there are. And, I mean, it's the end-all be-all, man, the quarterback market. So that's why I thought Sam Darnold would get money in free agency, right? There's just not
– He did. He got 33.
There's just not a ton of options out there. No, it's why I say Jameis is back with the Giants, although kind of in a backup role or a mental role. But guys are getting their chances. I mean, the NFL is so starved for the quarterback position. Tennessee, you got to keep throwing darts until you get that guy. It's bottom line what you got to do. So you're sitting there at the top of the draft, I'd get the best quarterback available still. Yeah, even if you're not 100% sold, still got to go Cam Ward.
Like I said, I'm a big fan of Cam Ward. I'm cool with Shedeur Sanders. I think he comes with a little bit more risk, because I don't think he has quite the same traits that Ward does, or even like some of the top quarterbacks.
Ward's been around a little bit longer, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I, like I said, I, if it were me, I would take a quarterback. But I don't really feel like the Titans are that resolute on taking a quarterback here.
Sure.
But one quarterback, though, that is kind of seeing his draft stock kind of bounce around is Shedeur Sanders. We have heard some things that the Giants would be more than willing to take him in third overall. But you're seeing a lot of mocks where he's falling completely out of the first round. When we did our seven-round mock last week, he was the first pick of the third round to the Giants.
And we're seeing him being the second pick overall or third pick overall. Third, so he,
it's
all,
everywhere.
He's a pinball.
It's everywhere.
I mean, look at his latest here, because he's been all over the place.
Yeah, he's been all over the place. Look, I think a lot of it is the thing we're hearing about is his attitude, his arrogance, quote unquote, if you will, where he came off as arrogant at the interviews when he was at the combine last month.
And I hear that stuff too, and I hear about a lot of guys, you know, but sometimes it's hard to tell if it's true or not, or someone's just got a vendetta against him.
Here's what I think. I don't think it's necessarily that people, like some people probably do have a vendetta against him, but what I think is this. I think a lot of what's happening is we talked about this before. There's six of the top 10 teams in the draft this year need a quarterback, either now or in the near future. It makes a lot of sense if you don't want to trade up for you to go out there and assassinate his character a little bit so that his draft stock falls and you can get him where you're sitting at.
Here's where Daniel Harms does good mocks, I think, with Draft Network. This is today. He had him going third overall. NFL Spin Zone had him going third. Roto Baller 21st.
Yeah.
Sportsnot second. DraftWire third. Sports Illustrated third. Pro Football Network third. So, I mean, again, today's mocks that came out pretty much consistently had him back up at the top.
He had him top five. Yeah, but, you know, we've seen a lot of mocks where he's fallen towards the middle of the first. I saw some mocks last week where he was middle of the first round. I saw some mocks where he was like the Giants were trading back into the first round in the 20s, in like the mid-20s to take him because he had fallen.
Hey, I'm all for it because it gives the Chiefs value at 31.
Yeah.
If someone really wants to make that move for a quarterback.
Right. And like I said, I think the more likely scenario is if somebody has to trade back into the first round to get a quarterback, it's probably for Jackson Dart. I don't think it's for Shedeur. I don't think Shedeur is going to last past number three. I think he's going to, whoever is there, whoever is sitting there at number three, if it's the Giants, if the Giants move up and maybe the Browns decide not to go quarterback, maybe they trade for Kirk Cousins, because I think Kirk Cousins is very much still available for trade. And there was talk that they would be interested in taking him and trading for him. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if somebody at third overall is looking to take Shador, Cam, whoever's left.
There are some quarterback starved teams. And the funny thing is, they're letting a guy like Travis Hunter probably go, who's a hell of a lot more talented than Shador. I think he's the most talented guy in the draft.
Yeah. I think that because there's so many teams out there that are starved for quarterbacks, and because there's, I mean, this. Even with a guy like Sam Darnold sitting out there, with a guy like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson sitting out there, it's not a great quarterback market.
No.
I mean, you know, there normally, if this were a good draft class, Aaron Rodgers would have signed by now because he would have had no choice. Russell Wilson would have signed by now because he would have had no choice. But because of the situation with the draft, it's kind of leaving some things to be desired out there. I mean, the Giants very well might trade out of that pick if they sign an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. They might trade out of that pick anyways and just roll with a veteran and see if that helps them win, and then maybe one of these other quarterback needy teams goes and tries to get Shador. But I don't think Shador is going to last past three.
You know, I'm looking at Chad Ryder's mock right now. I've just gone through the first two rounds. I don't even see him in the first two. So
what?
Yeah, I'm looking at Chad Ryder's mock.
Wow.
With him, so since we're being fair about, you know, guys putting him in or on their list or not, I haven't seen him yet. So I don't know if I just missed him or what. But I told you that a lot of the teams have him going a lot earlier.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have him going earlier, but there's also a lot. There's I'm seeing a lot more mocks where they have him fall completely out of the first. Like early second is usually what I'm seeing. It's like 33, 35, somewhere around that range. It's usually somebody trading up to get one of the top three picks in the second round and then taking him.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as I said before, in our mock, Shador was available at pick 65 to the Giants. So that, again, I don't buy it. I think he goes top five. I don't think he lasts past three. Somebody's going to take him there. A couple of other guys, though, who are starting to see their stock fall a little bit. Arizona wide receiver Ted Oral McMillan, a guy that me and you are very, very high on. We love his work. He's starting to fall into the highest I've seen him be where he's fallen is like right around that the high teens, like the late teens. Some, I think as low I've seen him is like mid-20s. I think I've seen him like 24, 25 at the lowest. But, yeah, he's fallen a little bit. I still think he goes top 10. And then another guy that we've seen.
Never mind. It's Shador third.
Okay, sorry.
I just went by and said, where's he at? They forgetting?
Yeah.
So there's one another big-time mocker.
Okay,
having
that's
third.
Good.
So,
that's good.
So go ahead. But Ted Earl McMillan.
He's starting to fall. I've seen mocks, again, that are somewhere in that 17 to 25 range where he's fallen.
It's starting to become enticing.
I don't think he falls that far.
I don't either. I still look at him as the best wide receiver in this class. What they're saying is they don't value these wide receivers as much because in many people's in the top five position rankings, you've got Luther Burden a lot of times in the top three with people in Ted Earl McMillan one and Luther Burden three. And if all of a sudden you're saying the number one, three receivers are starting to slide to the end of the first round into our second round, you don't like this class. You hear it's deep, but you don't like the class that it's in. Ted Earl McMillan quickly became my favorite receiver on this Character Concerns podcast during football season because I was like, man, this guy's big. He's doing everything.
Good route runner.
I'm a huge Luther Burden was number one going into the season. I'm not down on Luther Burden. I like Luther Burden. He's probably number two at this point. But Ted Earl McMillan, if he starts falling in the 20s, that becomes tempting for the Chiefs. That becomes one of those guys like, we going to get see him keep falling. But I'm curious when that wide receiver run begins because there's always that run. You're not expecting that run in the draft, and there could be a run.
I don't know if there's a run. I wouldn't be shocked if only
unless it's
two.
Like Ibuka and Golden and Matthew Golden and these guys like, going boom, boom, boom.
I think people there panic. Could be anywhere from two to four that get taken in the first.
But I could easily see it happening at the beginning of the second round.
Yeah.
But there will be a run on receivers.
Yeah, because I think second round, if there is a run, if there's a whole bunch coming off the board, I think it's more than likely second round, not first. I think Tedrell McMillan goes top 15. I think he's going to be top 10. I think that after that, I can see Matthew Golden going in the teens. After that, I'm not sure if...
Combine time saving him.
Yeah, his combine time made him money, yeah. And then after that, I mean, maybe Emeka Egbuka goes.
He had 7 in the first round last year. Tied a record.
Yeah, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be that.
But there will be a run.
2-4,
I think. And I even throw Trey Harris in there from Ole Miss.
I don't think Trey Harris is going to go first. If he goes first.
One of the receivers, I told you, I kind of like a Savion Williams. Now, this is a project guy. His hands aren't the best, but he's a credible deep threat guy. He's 6'4", 220 pounds at TCU. But he runs the ball as well. He's a short yardage answer as well. He takes a lot of stuff from the Wildcat.
Yeah.
But some people have him 7th, 8th best receiver in the draft.
Yeah, he's probably like late day two, early.
But you gotta take time with him though, because you gotta develop the hands.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, that part is interesting. And then another guy I've seen fall, which I think is good for the Chiefs, if it happens. Defensive tackle at Oregon, Derek Harmon, your guy. You love him. I'm a big fan of his work. I'm still kind of torn between him and Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, but Derek Harmon is popping up at a lot more mocks at 31 to the Chiefs. And I'm a huge fan of what he does. He's a very good pass rusher. He's got a lot of potential as a run stopper as well. Very powerful, very active out there. Just controls the line of scrimmage.
High quality player. He'd be great with Chris Jones on the same team. It's a guy that I could see being a Pro Bowler in the future.
Right.
I like this pick. I'm going to be watching the draft with you. Liberty Landing, hoping Luther Burden keeps falling and McMillan keeps falling and Derek Harmon keeps falling. Let them have choices. Sit up there. So if you're sitting at 31, a team in 29, 28 goes out and grabs one of your guys. Okay, you still got a couple left. So at least one's there.
Right. And so, like, if Harmon's.
Or Nolan, throw him in there too.
Yeah, if Nolan's there, if Harmon's there, I'm kind of interested to see, like, let's say that both Nolan and Harmon are sitting there. And let's even throw, like, Darius Alexander, which I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. And then let's say that Nick Scorton's there. So you got 4 D linemen there, 3 D tackles.
I think Scorton's going to be there. Unless teams value players much more than
teams. Scorton might be a guy that I think probably gets picked right before the Chiefs.
Because a lot of mockers aren't really having him in the first round. They're right. Into the first, but he was initially. But maybe teams.
It wouldn't shock me if Buffalo took him before.
Maybe all the teams that are talking. This happens too. The guys put out the mocks and the analysts.
Right.
Teams will ask them about him. They'll poo-poo it. They'll put him down because they don't want to put a smokescreen out there. They don't say, "Oh, this guy's stock growing up." Because if you're picking the mid rounds, you don't want that happening. You want this guy to keep being downgraded.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what would happen if you had that scenario where you got Nolan, you got Harmon, you got Alexander, and you got Scorton sitting there at 31, and you have your pick of those four.
Mm.
I'm really interested. Like I said, I almost want to say Walter Nolan, but I'm really cool with Derek Harmon. I'm really cool with Nick Scorton. Darius Alexander is really interesting because he's a freak athlete.
I'd be cool. I'd give you any of them, but Harmon would be my guy.
Harmon's your guy. Nolan is my guy.
And I'm good with that. I'm fine with that.
And I'm cool with either. I'm too. Any of those four guys, I'm cool with. Like, I'm interested to see what would be their mindset if they've got those four. I don't think all four of those are going to be there. I think Scorton's probably going to get picked right. Don't be shocked if Buffalo takes Scorton. Like, I would not be shocked if Buffalo takes Scorton. But I think.
I mean, they already upgraded to Bosa. But Miller's gone.
Bosa's in his 30s.
But they love to add that. I mean, the problem with Buffalo sitting there, they need the same thing the Chiefs do, wide receivers and edge.
Yeah.
And they're going to be sitting there going back and forth competing.
And it wouldn't shock me if Buffalo.
That was the way it was last year.
It wouldn't shock me if Buffalo went wide receiver. It wouldn't shock me if they went Egbuka or they went Burden. I'll tell you this. If I'm putting money on a team sniping Burden before 31, Buffalo. It's Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's the guy. If he's sitting there at 30, or I think they're 29 or 30. I think it's 30 for Buffalo.
Keep in mind the Chargers could go out wide receiver as well because they still haven't addressed that.
They very well could. So I found a 7-round mock draft done by Nate Taylor, our guy from The Athletic. You can hear him on 96.5 The Fan. Probably the most in-tune person with the Chiefs that I can find out there in sports media. And he did a 7-round mock. I found this very interesting. I read this morning, and I thought it was there's a lot of guys that we've talked about here, a lot of guys that we like here, and I wanted to kind of weigh your thoughts on this. Starting out with his first round pick, he had the Chiefs trading up to pick 26. They used the 2026 fourth round pick that they got from Chicago in the Joe Tooney trade to facilitate this, which is, if that's all it takes to move up five spots, that's a hell of a move.
And getting your guy, Walter Nolan, there. I understand it. If you truly value Walter Nolan or Derek, I would do it for Derek Harmon, but if Walter Nolan's your guy and you've identified him, to move up makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so he took Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Ole Miss. Then at round two, pick 63, he took Elijah Arroyo, the tight end from Miami, which we have talked about extensively from an athletic standpoint. He is one of, if not the most athletic tight end in this draft class.
Got it. I almost mocked in our mock draft last time.
You came very, very close.
Very close to
you. I certainly had to think about it as well when I had the second round pick, but I chose Joshua Farmer.
Well, they had their pro day today too, by the way, Miami.
Oh, I had to check it out.
Did you see where Restrepo, I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Ran like a 4.76 and like a 4.83 or something like this. By 40? A hand time thing. That's what they said, the hand time thing.
I don't care.
I'm not buying that, but that's big time if that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I didn't see Arroyo's yet.
Yeah, I need to.
I mean, if that pro day was today, probably out there.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that after the show. But Elijah Arroyo is definitely a guy I'd be very interested in the Chiefs taking at 63. Would not be mad at all by that. His athletic profile is really impressive. Very good route runner. He was smoking guys with his route running at the Senior Bowl. Then he has the Chiefs trading.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Taking away the 66th overall pick that they got from the Titans, has them trading it and pick 226 in round 7 from the Panthers to get pick 74 and pick 111. So a third round pick and a fourth round pick. And with that 74th overall pick, he has the Chiefs taking right tackle Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College. Not sure that this is quite the fit for the Chiefs. The problem with Trapillo, 6'8", he played just barely over 300 pounds, so he was a little bit undersized for a right tackle, and he's only 33-inch arms. So doesn't really fit the length profile the Chiefs like, and being 6'8" can be really tough for a lot of these tackles because if you're too tall, you get stood up.
I don't like the potential of trading for prospects at right tackle. The left tackle is where you need to be.
Well, here's my thing is like, if you're going to take a left tackle, I mean, if you're going to take a right tackle, which I think I'm cool with them getting a right tackle because I think this is probably Juwan Taylor's last year in Kansas City. So I'm fine with them taking care of that ahead.
Unless you're looking and saying, hey, we think Kingsley's going to be there next year.
Maybe Owanye. I think that's an option too. Like, neither of those options would shock me because both of those guys were right tackles in college. But if you're going to take a tackle, and I don't know what, you know, if Cameron Williams was available when he was doing his mock, but if Cameron Williams was available from Texas, that's the guy I'm taking over Trapillo because he actually fits the length requirements. This is a guy that played power four. He, you know, put some good things on tape, but he also made a lot of mistakes in his 1 year as a starter at right tackle for the Longhorns. But definitely, like, you look at him, if you're looking at a project guy, I'd much rather take a guy like him over Trapillo.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If you're more consistent, you know, you've seen the tape, you've seen him play. Have you seen him play much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, he is the Juwan Taylor of college football. Like, talented, but he made a lot of mistakes. And there's times where, I mean, he can be exploited, but he's got the size profile you like.
6'5", 335 pounds.
Like, the size profile you like, he's got 30, I think he's like just over 34. I think he's like 34.5-inch arms.
It looks like Arroyo is not going to do athletic testing today.
I don't blame him.
I know what you're saying. I don't think he is, but that's the latest here.
Yeah. I get it. If he didn't want to do any athletic testing, I get it. Because he's like, y'all saw what y'all saw on tape. I don't need to do anymore.
Yep.
No, I 100% get it. And then with the 95th overall pick in round three, Taylor has the Chiefs taking DJ Giddens, the running back out of Kansas State. The guy I tried to get you to take in our 7-round mock.
Gonna be a sleeper.
Even though I like Dylan Sampson.
Dylan Sampson better too. But yeah. DJ Giddens, again, watching the tape and watching K-State play at the end of the year, I said some teams are going to get a surprise out of this guy, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that home run ability. You question the home run ability at times. But you watch him this year, there is no doubt in your mind this guy can take him into the house.
100%. He was the guy that jumped off to me the most for this team this year. Like, I was watching a lot of K-State football this year, and Giddens is a guy that, like, I was watching for Giddens and whatnot, but, like, he was the best player on the field for K-State every game he was playing in. Like, every time he touched the ball, you're just like looking for those fireworks. He's very smooth. Ran a lot of. I think he was a little bit more gap than zone, but still very effective on zone runs. He's big. He's 6 foot, over 200 pounds. I think he's like almost 215. And he ran a sub 4.5 40. So,
I like watching him doing everything, catching out of the backfield, running, and a lot of the.
Yeah, he's got some home run hitting ability, but the biggest thing is he's very effective in between the tackles. Not one of those guys that's going to just try to run into contact. He's very much going to try to move around defenders, something that we kind of wish that Isaiah Pacheco would do more. I'm a huge fan of taking Giddens at 95. If he's there, I'm not confident he's going to be there at 95 for the Chiefs. But if he were there and the Chiefs hadn't already taken a running back,
see what his numbers
that's a guy I'd be looking at.
It's not like they have no shortage of scouts to go to these local games.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they probably had guys here.
He had 1,343 yards rushing this year, 1,226 the year before, but it was 6.6 per carry this year.
That's
the important thing. 6.6 per 21 catches, 258 yards. They threw to Dylan Edwards a lot of the backfield as well. But Giddens, I like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of good running backs I'd be cool with the Chiefs taking. But if I had to put together like a top three, Giddens is probably number three. I would say Omarion Hampton 1, Caleb Johnson 2, and then I would say DJ Giddens number 3. That's my top three.
Outside of the Ohio State bias, I do like Keyshawn Judkins. Did you see how strong guy is? Judkins?
Yeah, Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, he was squatting like 800
pounds. He's huge. Something like that. He's like 6'1". Well, see, I think he came in a little bit under 6 feet at the combine, but he's like 220. He's massive. Yeah. He's very interesting, too, but I think Travion was a little bit better than him. So it's like, you talk about all the time, like second guy syndrome, where it's like you have a guy that's better than you and you're playing with him. And then that second guy comes in and you're really good too. But is it because you're that good? Or is it because the other guy is there?
Yeah,
you know, I kind of worry about that with Quinn, even though I think Quinshon's very good and I think he's going to be a good pro, but I do wonder if. Because Travion was a little bit more explosive than him. He was more of a guy who's like he's a power guy. You're gonna go with him in those short yardage situations. Travion Henderson was the guy that was making like the big plays there. With round four, pick 111, which is a pick that they acquired via trade in this mock that Nate Taylor did. He has them taking Louisville edge rusher Ashton Jalot. I like him. My only problem is this. He's under 32 inch arms as an edge rusher. And that concerns me a bit because the only edge rusher that the Chiefs have on their roster that is under 32 inch arms is Mike Dana.
Yeah.
And Mike Dana is a rotational edge rusher. Now maybe this is, you know, the profile that they like the size, they like the motor, and maybe they can look past the lack of length. But Spags, just as much as like Andy Heck and Andy Reid care about length on an offensive tackle, Spags cares about length on his edge rushers. His edge rushers are all above 32-inch arms.
Production went down this year compared to the previous two. He had 7 his sophomore year at 11.5 the year before that. Only 4.5 this year, got a little bit more attention. But that was in 14 games.
Right.
This year, they've played 12 games. He did get the force, but I like the directions he's doing. He's doing kind of what we did. Tight end. Well, first round, you got defensive line, and you got tight end, you got edge, and running back positions they need.
Yeah. I don't know, but if Oluwafemi Oladejo was sitting there at 111 from UCLA, he's very raw. I say this, it's like every couple years, Veach likes to take a very raw, defensive lineman, doesn't have a lot of reps or didn't play at like a big time school for very long, if at all. But you look at that athletic ability, and it's like, okay, we could coach that into a productive player. Jalot's good, but Oladejo, I really like that kid. With the other fourth round pick at pick 133, he has him taking your guy, wide receiver Torrey Horton, out of Colorado State.
I think the injuries hampered him a lot this year.
They did.
He ran a 4.41 at the combine, though.
Yes. Yeah, he good speed on him, good size. He's like 6'3", a little bit under 200 pounds. But you look at – he's considered more of a possession-style receiver than he is more of a big – like a speedster.
He had 96 catches the year before this one when he was fully healthy.
He's very productive.
And I going into the season, I didn't – probably top five.
You talked about him a lot.
Yeah, I like Torrey Horton a lot.
You really liked him a lot.
I like this pick in the fourth round. If that's what I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Like that one a lot.
I'm cool with that in round four. Yeah, because
I went Zachariah Franklin later on in the draft as a second wide receiver in our mock draft. But I'm good with this.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with Horton there. I think Horton's a guy that a lot of people really, really like his size. They really like his skill set. The only issue you worry about though is he wasn't really like a guy who's going to out-athlete a whole lot of corners out there. And so you wonder how they're going to use him. I kind of think at the very minimum, he's like a Byron Pringle, Cornell Powell type. And maybe he doesn't play a whole lot, but you see him make catches here and there. That would be very interesting. But I do like third day. Let's take a shot on a receiver here and see if we can coach him up. And then with his last two picks, because he traded one of the seventh round picks to move back a little bit. To move back a little bit. And he went and got guard Joshua Gray from Oregon State at pick 251. That would make sense, but I also think that the Chiefs do have some good depth at guard right now anyways with
tackle
guys like Norzad, Hanson is a guy I think that could be really interesting for the Chiefs.
CJ Hanson from last year's deal, Norzad.
Yeah, so I'm not
Caliendo.
Yeah, Caliendo as well. Let's not forget about him. They did tender him. And then the other pick that they used, the Mr. Irrelevant, is Jordan Hancock, the safety from Ohio State. I'm cool with that one as well. Hancock is a guy I've been looking at as a potential DB add for the team in the seventh round as well. But I will say this. If Malachi Moore is sitting there, which in this case he probably wasn't because Malachi is usually going about 220 on a lot of mocks. But if Malachi Moore is sitting there, I don't think you could pass him up if he's sitting there in the seventh round.
And again, that goes back to the theory of, do you take those guys or not?
Yeah. Because if Ohio State guy.
The thing is he would have been in there with Caleb Downs.
Right.
In that secondary.
Yeah.
And Caleb Downs is getting all the attention.
Downs is a guy to look out for sure. And then he also did a beat writer mock draft for The Athletic. And at 31, because they just did a first round with all the beat writers for each team. And at 31, he had the Chiefs taking edge rusher JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. I think Tuimoloau, and I also think Jack Sawyer would be good fits for the Chiefs because they're more power guys. They're big. I mean, I think Tuimoloau is over 260. Jack Sawyer is almost 270. So from a size standpoint, they fit what the Chiefs are looking for on their D-line. But again, the Ohio State trope is alive and well, so we'll have to see. I mean, because an easy one would be Tyleek Williams for the Chiefs at 31, but I don't see very many people mock Tyleek Williams to the Chiefs, even though I actually think he would be a pretty good fit for the Chiefs at 31.
So it did. With going back to Mr. Relevant pick with Hancock, I'm curious about this, though. Does he see him as a safety or corner?
I think safety.
Because
I think a lot of people are seeing him as a safety. He played corner.
Yeah, he played corner. Right? He was a corner. Their safeties were deep. It was cool. Just Caleb Downs is back there, and he's an absolute stud.
Like Hancock was a corner. Because when we did our watch list, he was a corner.
Yeah, he was a corner because, again, Caleb Downs has one more year there, and then he comes out. The guy's an absolute stud.
And Downs is probably going to be like top 15.
That's your first-round safety.
Yeah, he's your first-round safety for sure. I think, though, with Hancock is like there was – I think the mobility is probably the big reason why he's fallen so far. I don't know what the case is with
Malachi. He started
the
national title game, though. So.
He did. And Hancock is – he's a good safety. Man. I think there's better options to safety, but Hancock is a good safety there. But, yeah, I think I don't think very many people think he can play corner at the NFL level. So that's why he's falling. That was an interesting observation that I had when I was doing a lot of mocks. I was like, Hancock was a corner at Ohio State. Yeah. So, I thought that was a really interesting mock just because he's very in tune with what the Chiefs are looking for, what the Chiefs are interested in. And I think that is – we can kind of get a feel – I think it kind of validates what we've been saying about the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm good with that. He's like Shamari Conner when he was drafted. You know, he could play nickel. He's a safety. He can do the nickel corner for you. So he can do a lot of different things. They can immediately move back to safety if they're hurting at safety. Shamari just goes right back there.
Yeah, because I think Hancock would probably be a slot guy. I think he would probably mix between playing 100% safety and slot. So, but yeah, like I said, I thought that was really interesting because there's just so much we can kind of glean from that. Yeah. Again, it validated a lot of what we've been saying. Yeah. About the, you know, especially Elijah Arroyo, especially defensive tackle first round, running backs being something they could look at day three, get a project tackle, even though I think there's some other options there. Another guy I'd be really looking at is Charles Grant from William & Mary. I think he's like kind of the ultimate project tackle in this class, but I think overall we're kind of on the right track as far as where the Chiefs will go. And I think you got to look at defensive line really.
There's a couple guys like Ben Sennett last year we liked and Hunter Lucy the year before. That's Savion Williams. That's kind of my guy, the diamond in the rough guy I'm going to be watching for.
Yeah. If the Chiefs had more picks on day three, Savion would be a really interesting option.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by what all he can do.
Yeah, because a lot like him and like Jack Beck as well. Those guys, like a lot of people have been talking about them.
There's a lot of people showing Jack Besh's stats when he's at LSU.
Yeah.
He's played with Brian Thomas Jr. Right. and Malik.
Yeah.
In their first year, he's actually better than they were.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
a lot of interesting talk here. So this is our last – no, it's our second to last show of March. Next month, though, we're going to have a whole bunch of live shows, live editions of Character Concerns. We're going to do more mocks. We're going to have people on to talk about their mocks and where they think the Chiefs are going, where they think the draft is going overall. And then, obviously, in now about a month, is the NFL draft for 2025.
A month from today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a month from today is going to be the first day of the NFL draft. So we're going to be at the Landing in Liberty for round one. And I'm very excited about it. I know you're very excited about it.
And we get to cover on Saturday for the draft, wrap up on Sunday, and a wrap-up Monday.
Wrap-up Monday
two,
as well.
Two wrap-ups, back-back.
Yeah, so we're going to have all your draft coverage that you could ever wish for on 96.5 The Fan, obviously on our podcast page. So wherever you listen to podcasts, we appreciate you for taking time out of your day to listen to me, Jay Binkley. And this has been the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.